Please turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll read verses 9 through 13 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. First Corinthians 1, verses 9 through 13. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Let's finish on verse 13 together. Ready? Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were ye baptized in the name of Paul? And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you do for us here in this place. Lord, yesterday dozens and dozens and dozens of our men all over this property were spread asking you for your power upon our church services. And God, you've answered that so far today. Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you'd help our preacher tonight. Help him have your power, but Lord, may we have your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change our lives, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated.
There's a story in the book of Amos, and in that story there was a man who was on the outside of his house. He was fleeing a bear, and fortunately he outran that bear. He stepped inside his house, he went, whew, outran the bear, slammed the door, maybe put his arm up against the door casing, and he got bit by a snake. Oh no, well, sometimes that's just the way it goes. But you know, that's the way it can be in the church if you're not careful. The bear of the devil on the outside of the church would like to destroy the church. And the church escapes the bear. And the outside, the world, is unable to destroy the revival inside the church. And then a snake inside the church destroys the revival on the inside. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. There's probably no better time to teach a lesson like the one I'm going to teach tonight than now. And that because the lesson's not needed. I like teaching the lesson when the lesson's not needed. Now the title of my lesson tonight, and I don't think you're going to call this much preaching. It's a lesson. The title of the lesson is this: What to do when people in the church are having relationship problems. What to do when people in the church are having relationship problems. This is a preventive maintenance type of a sermon. I have nothing to fix this evening. I don't have a bone to pick with anybody. I have picked strategically a time when there is peace among our ranks. I don't know of anybody at all that's at odds with somebody else. In a church like ours, it's rare that people leave the church because of doctrinal differences. That really doesn't happen. To my knowledge, I don't know of anybody that has come to me and said, well, I'm going to leave the church because I disagree with this doctrine or that doctrine. I have not seen that happen. And so, you know, people that are new that come to our church, pretty well, it doesn't take them long to figure out what we believe because we don't hide what we believe. We preach what we believe. We're not ashamed of what we believe. We make it very, very clear. We stand upon it. Most people who are truly old-fashioned Baptists don't have doctrinal differences with their church. Now, you have a few leave over the issues of separation, because that bothers them some. But most of the time, when people leave a church like ours, they're leaving it because of people problems. relationship problems. And let me say, we never want people within the ranks of our church to fuss. Now, again, let me tell you, I'm not trying to fix anything this evening. We have a unified church. I mean, remarkably unified church. We have a great spirit. We get along. I know of no tension anywhere. And if there is, I don't know about it. And it would have to be somewhat minimal. And we have a wonderful thing here. We have a wonderful, wonderful spirit here. And everybody here can testify to that. You understand it. So, but we never want anybody to fuss in the church. And our goal is that 100% of the time we get along. We strive to have a perfect unity and a perfect spirit around here. But may I say, no matter how hard we try, the devil will deceive someone into hurting the church by the use of contention or disunity. So I have to tell you, we're not going to be able to escape it completely. Now, there are some churches that take that bump just constantly. There's just constant problems like that. We don't have that kind of a problem around here, nor do we want that kind of a problem around here. But I'm going to guess, as long as sinners are going to attend our church, and I'm going to reckon that includes me, and I know for sure it includes you, and as long as we're going to have sinners in our church, since that's all that we have to work with, then we're going to have to deal with some of that contention and some of that disunity, because we are frail and we are sinners. And so, because of that, I guess if ever there is some disunity, if ever there's a few people that, a couple of people don't get along, how should the rest of us behave when those two people are not behaving and they're not getting along? And that is the lesson for this evening. It's very practical. I want you to listen carefully. The lesson is what to do when people in the church have relationship problems. Hey, not only do I know of none, I don't see any on the horizon. I do not. I see strong unity. I see the future to be very, very bright. I don't predict it. I don't think it. The only reason that it would need to be predicted is because the nature of man and the hate of the devil. And so, just in case we have a bump in the road, we want to be ready for it. And the best time to learn how to do something is before you have to do it. Amen? So, listen to this carefully. Well, what do you do when a couple of people you love inside the church are not getting along? Well, first of all, you kindly do not get involved. You kindly do not get involved. The Bible says in Romans 16:7, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." The Bible's telling you here, just avoid the trouble. When there are divisions that can cause offenses, you just stay out of the trouble. Steer clear of the problem. See, if you hear that two people are not getting along, decide not to get involved. Titus 3:9 says, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings." And the Bible says, because that's unprofitable. Avoid it. Just don't get involved in it. Don't and do this. And be careful, because getting involved, that becomes unprofitable. When two people aren't getting along, the more people that get involved in that thing, it becomes unprofitable. It'll be unprofitable to you. It'll be unprofitable to the church. Don't allow your pride to convince you that your situation or their situation demands your intervention. Oh, I watch a lot of people that just feel like, well, I can solve any problem in the church, therefore these folks are fussing, and before long you're going to be in the middle of the fuss if you're not careful. Don't let your goodness create a bad situation for you. I know people that very, very sincerely want to resolve contention, but they're not really qualified to do so. They get involved out of the goodness of their heart, and before long, they're in the midst of the battle. In these situations, the best thing to do is probably nothing and on purpose. Why? Because God said, just avoid the contention. Here's why. If there are two people that are not getting along, why do we need to add to it two more people? Or four people, or six people, or eight people. I promise you, folks, contention works in a domino effect. And so the thing to do is let those two people resolve it with themselves, or they'll get some help, and I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But kindly, don't get involved. Number two, if they approach you, kindly stay uninvolved. Job 34, verse 2 and 3 says, "Hear my words, O ye wise men, and give ear unto me, ye that have knowledge. For the ear trieth words, as the mouth tasteth meat." Now, God is saying to us here, if our ears hear something, then we're going to want to try it or test it or make some type of a judgment. So what you ought to do is, if you say, well, to a couple people that are fussing, if somebody's come to me and tried to draw me into it, here's all you do. You say, brother, I want you to know something. I love you. I love you. But out of respect to everyone involved, I'd rather not hear about it. I want to stay uninvolved. You could even blame the Bible. You could say, I think the Bible teaches that I should avoid getting involved. You could blame this sermon. You could say, okay, I'll use the word sister. Sister, you heard what preacher said. Preacher said I should not get involved, and I'd like to obey that. I think that's the wise thing to do. Disunity is like leprosy. It starts small. Then through contact, it spreads to the healthy. Eventually, it brings death. Let's never spread spiritual disease. So, if I say to you, first of all, just don't get involved. Number two, if you're approached and somehow somebody wants to draw you in to their own little personal war, all you have to do is say, I love you. I love the other people involved. Please, out of respect to everybody, please, I would rather not hear it. I'd rather not be involved in it. Number three, I think you could give them advice, but that advice is limited to one thing. You say, well, what's the advice? The Bible says in 1 Samuel 9:6, and he said unto him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God, and he's an honorable man, and all that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go thither. Peradventure he can show us our way that we should go. Now, first of all, if you want to give someone that is having struggles with another person in the church, if you want to give them a piece of advice, why don't you go tell them, why don't you go see the pastor and let him help you through this? I don't know, Brother Smith, but I think the hardest thing about my job is I'm not only a pastor, but I wear a black and white striped shirt with a whistle, and I spend half my time saying, foul! You're out of bounds! Offsides! It's sad. One of the hardest things about what I do is getting people to get along. I've been the pastor of this church for 6 years. Never had the slightest moment of problem with doctrine. But the people part of this thing, now that can get a little hairy. Let the church leadership deal with the disunity. You say, why? That'll protect you. Let me take the beating. I love you. You just let me take care of it. I'm not trying to be a dictator. I'm trying to protect you. It takes special grace from God to take the beating that it takes to put up with solving disunity among people. It tears you to shreds. I don't want that to happen to you. It's a little bit like the official makes the calls at the ball game and the fans hate the official. He gets paid to do it. And if he didn't want to be official, he shouldn't have gone in the ball game. The hardest help that I provide is when folks don't get along. I didn't say can't get along. I said when they don't get along. Because any two Christians could get along if they were both filled with the Holy Spirit of God and they were surrendered to Him. They would get along. See, I love both parties, and I'm a friend of both. Now they put me in an awkward position, and I am forced for the good of the church to referee fights that should not be taking place. But, hey, let me tell you something. If you know of a little contention, and you know I have to referee it, just pray that everything will work out. But I say to you, number one, don't get involved. Number two, if they approach you, kindly stay uninvolved out of your love and respect for them. Number three, the only advice you really need to give is go get help. Number four, pray for them. Pray for them. 2 Corinthians 1:11 says this, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Listen, those people that would have some contention, that whether it's self-inflicted or it is inflicted by another, they're hurting. They're hurting. You pray for them, but pray privately for them. Pray that everybody involved will not be guilty of pride. Just so you know, it is pride that brings contention. Pray that the people involved will not have hatred in themselves. One Christian should not hate another Christian. And the wonderful thing about this is I'm not dealing with any problems. This is fantastic. All I'm trying to do is tell you, hey, somewhere along the line, we're going to have a bump in the road and a couple of people in the church are not going to get along. And what we want to do is the rest of us need to deal with this scripturally and properly. Why? We don't want the domino effect. We don't want contention between two to end up being contention between three and then four and then five and then six. And just so you all know, some of you have been involved in enough churches where you've seen it happen. God knows I don't want that to happen here. We've had a wonderful, wonderful 6 years, and I want it to stay that way. So you pray. You pray privately. You pray that pride will be gotten out of the road, and hate will not flare up, and revenge will not become a part of it. You pray that there will not be a lack of forgiveness. You pray for the depletion of stubbornness that keeps people's egos from doing what's right. Pray that people will just, in honor, prefer one another. In honor, prefer one another. Pray that the division does not quench the church's spirit. Did you hear me? Pray that that little touch of division does not quench the church's spirit. Pray that you say, there's two people not getting along. What should I do? Pray. Pray that that division does not quench the Holy Spirit from being a part of our services. You pray that the lost in the community are not affected by looking at our church and the division between those two people, because the whole world is watching to see how the Christians here behave. So, what do we do if by some chance two ladies in the church can't get along, two men in the church can't get along, two families in the church can't get along? Well, what we're going to do is this. We're kindly not going to get involved. We'll limit it. Let it just be those couple. What else are we going to do? If they approach us and try to pull us in, we kindly, out of love, say, please, I'd rather not get involved. I love and respect everybody involved. It's not my place. Number three, if you got to give advice, you tell them to see the leadership. Number four, you pray for them, but you pray privately. Number five, don't ask others to pray for them. Don't ask others to pray for them. Bible says in Matthew 23:14, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses and for pretense make long prayer. Therefore ye shall receive the greater damnation. And here the Bible's talking about someone that uses their prayers, but they're not the right kind of prayers. You see, don't let prayer requests become gossip techniques. You ever met the kind of person that says, pray for Brother Bajan. He's got some problems. That's gossip. That's gossip. In men's prayer meeting, the men would tell you, we all know that there are men that will raise their hand and they'll say, preacher, today, one of my prayer requests, it's a private request. It's an unspoken request. Why? Because I don't think that prayer ought to be allowed to become a technique of gossip. We don't spread bad news through the prayer grapevine. Don't talk about it. But there's different kinds of gossip. There's the bold-faced gossip that just talks about things that are none of their business, and there are the prayer gossips. There are people that even you can get down on your knees with them, and they're supposed to be pouring their heart out to God, and all they're doing is spreading gossip. Now, I want you to pray for people. But did you know that you don't have to name someone's problem to pray for them? You could say, and dear God, bless Brother Doss and give him a good day and meet his needs. But if Brother Doss had a problem, you don't have to voice that out loud in the presence of someone else. You see, if there was contention in the church, I think we ought to pray. But I think we ought to pray privately. I don't think we ought to go around asking everybody else to pray, because it tends to spread the possibility of the domino effect and people getting involved. If that makes sense to you, say amen. Number four, don't pass judgment. Don't pass judgment. Matthew chapter 7, verse number 1 says, judge not that you be not judged. Hey, I'm saying don't get involved physically by hearing it or mentally. You know, something that everybody here ought to be learning, if not you will, you don't know the whole story. There is far more to most contentious situations than you are ever told by the party that shared their side with you. You're better off not even getting involved mentally where you're going around making all these judgment calls. You know, I don't make any judgment calls about other pastors' churches. That's their business. I got my hands full taking care of mine. And God is not saying there's not going to be judgment in this life, but I think we're better off letting Him do the judging. And since you're not going to get involved anyway, you're better off not hearing it so you don't have to make a judgment within your mind of who you agree with. Because what the devil would like is for you to hear it and you to go ahead and line yourself up with somebody so that the domino effect could take place if the devil can entice you out of that neutral stance of, I don't want to be involved. God is saying, you know what our job is? It is our job to judge in our area of jurisdiction if we are appointed by God as a leader in that area. For instance, you say, well, I want to be involved. Fine. Every man here, you are to judge your house. Now, you've got your hands full taking care of the contention between you and your wife and you, and your sons and your daughters. We are to take care of that contention. Why? As a husband, as a man of the house, that is our area of judgment. It is our area of jurisdiction. But you should not be judging outside your area of jurisdiction. A Sunday school teacher would help to judge or make decisions in their Sunday school class. If two teenage boys were not getting along and causing contention, that Sunday school teacher, as a leader, may get involved and say, boys, you need to get along here. But Sunday school teacher A does not need to get involved in Sunday school teacher B's situation because that's not their area of jurisdiction. Brother Kidwell, when kids don't get along, every once in a while, some kids may not get along in King's Kids. Now, Brother Kidwell takes care of that. But Brother Bajent doesn't go try to take care of what's going on in Brother Kidwell's ministry. Brother Kidwell does not tell Brother Bajent what to do. We are to judge, but we judge in our area of jurisdiction. A boss takes care of his business. A teacher takes care of their class. One pastor should take care of his church, and another pastor should take care of his church. So we've got to be careful not to pass judgment. When there's contention between a couple of people, it's not our area. We're not to be involved in it. In other words, this is not good grammar, but it's good preaching. If it ain't your business, keep your nose out of it. Better yet, if it ain't your business, keep your ears out of it. Because you would never speak what you have not heard. So if you say, I don't want to hear it, then you can't speak what you have not heard. See, if your ears don't hear it, then your mind won't judge it and your mouth won't spread it. And so, don't pass judgment. What are we talking about? If there is contention among God's people in the local New Testament church, we should avoid it. If we are approached, we should then again kindly avoid it and let them know we don't want to be involved. If we feel like we've got to give advice, we advise them to go and get help. Then we pray for them. Then we don't ask others to pray, so we're not spreading the contention through spiritual means. Then we don't pass judgment. And what we don't hear, we don't have to make a decision. If we don't make a decision, we're less apt to find ourselves taking sides. Number 7, let me say to the young Christians that are here, we have all sorts of people that have just been saved. We have young Christians. I want to apologize to you that a sermon like this is necessary, but you are a part of the same human race the rest of us are. You say, well, I'd like to find a church where there is no contention. Well, if there is one, it would have to have no sinners in it. And there's no such thing as a church without sinners in it. The Bible says this. It says in Proverbs 19:25, smite a scorner and the simple will beware. If you're a simple Christian, you say, I'm a young Christian, and Brother Owens, the thought that inside the church people might not behave themselves. Well, I'm glad that you feel that way. And you're in a church that has a very blissful spirit, and we have very little contention, and we have gobs and gobs. Is gobs a word? We have gobs of unity. We enjoy each other. We enjoy one another. We enjoy our church services. But as a young Christian, you have to understand, there is no such thing as a perfectly peaceful church. That does not exist. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:11, when the scorner is punished, the simple is to be made wise. So those of you that are younger in the church, you're a little simple to some of the things of the church. Let me say, let this sermon tonight help you to become wise. There shouldn't be contention between two people in the church. If you're a young Christian and you just joined the church and you're standing up here by a nursery somewhere and some woman's tearing into some other woman in the church and you stand back and you're appalled at their behavior, okay, I apologize to you. It shouldn't have happened. But don't quit the church. I want you to know this. If you've seen two people from our church misbehaving, the pastor is not for it. I'm against it. I'm dead set against people not getting along. The church is not for it. We're against it. The Bible's not for it. We're against it. Jesus is not for it. We're against it. But just so you know, it might be you the next time, because you're a human, and there might be a moment of contention. Don't run. All you're going to do is run someplace else where there's contention. That's all you're going to do. But let me say, to the simple, to the younger Christian, I hate it that a sermon like this must be preached. It's being preached because we're in good shape. I'd like to keep us in good shape. But young Christian, I want you to learn from it right now. Someday you might see two men, and they're out here, and they're fussing about something in a parking lot or something. God knows it should never happen. We don't want it. It should not happen. But as a young Christian, why don't you remember back to this night and say, preacher said, as humans, sometimes we have this. I'm not gonna be mad. I'm gonna learn from it. I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to do my own business. I'm staying right here, and I don't want to be a part of the problem. That's all you do. Next, I want you to realize, all of us, and especially the younger Christians, number 8, realize that contention is not the norm of this church. 1 Corinthians 11:16, it says, but if any man seem to be contentious, we have no such custom, neither the church of God. God never intended for it to be the custom of churches to continue to have contention over things. There's not supposed to be that contention. And so you know, and I think we all know this, division in our church is uncustomary. It's not the custom around here, and we don't want it to be the custom. It's virtually unheard of around here. If you have contention with somebody in this church, just so you know, you're an oddball, because that is not common here. That is not our practice. That's not customary. But with that in mind, let me remind all of us, if you found out that two people tonight, God knows, probably be the perfect night for it after this sermon, we had two men right out here in the parking lot get in a fist fight. You say, I can't believe that. Listen, if we had a fist fight tonight, this whole church ought to say amen first time in all these years. I mean, I'll tell you what. Then we can watch them beat each other up. I don't think two people ought to fight, but I love fights. I like women fights. You know, switchblade fingernails. Oh, nothing like a good couple alley cats fighting. But contention is not the norm. And let me say, if a year from now or 2 years from now, you find two people that are fussing and acting immature and the devil's gotten into that thing, this whole church, you shouldn't be saying, wow, I've had it. My goodness, you must demand perfection of everything and everybody, because by God's grace, we have a very peaceful situation, and we have for a long time. If we hit a bump in the road along the way for you to pack your duds and move on, you're the immature one. I mean, this church, we've got a unity that is above and beyond what is the norm for a church. Hey, before you get discouraged and quit because a couple Christians are not right, maybe you ought to look at all the other people that are getting along. Look at the people who have had differences but dealt with them maturely, didn't pull others down and destroy the church spirit. You know, there have been some bumps in the road, but the people didn't pull a bunch of other folks into it. They dealt with it properly. They didn't let egos and pride get into it. And they got along, and they're still both right in the church, and everything's fine. So maybe you ought to glance at some of that before you get all discouraged and say, well, I don't want to live with that. What are we talking about? What to do when people in the church have relationship problems? So what do you do? Here's what you do. You kindly don't get involved. The Bible says avoid that. Why? So you don't get that domino effect and you go from having two people to three and three to four and four to five and five to six. Before long, we've chosen teams and you hear the war crying and see the sword pulled and people being hurt. So we don't get involved. If someone approaches you about getting involved, all you have to do is kindly say, don't want to hear it. I love everybody involved. It's best that I avoid this. Number three, you advise them to get help. Number four, you pray for them. Number five, you don't go around asking others to pray for them to spread the juicy gossip. Number six, don't pass judgment. You won't pass judgment if you don't hear it. Your mind doesn't have to make a decision about it. And then your mouth won't be able to add your bits and pieces. And then finally, I said to the young Christians, I apologize, but you have to learn this. You have to learn it. You're in a church of unity, but you need to know. If you see it, don't get discouraged. Don't run. Don't cower from it. You can't escape it. Some of that happens everywhere you go. Just realize it is not the norm in our church. And then finally, and I'm done, don't you be the one to create the disunity. Luke 17, verse 1 and 2, it says, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. God's saying to us, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Here's what you do. Let's you and I not get involved in other people's problems, and let's work real hard that we're not a part of the problem. You say, I wonder if I find myself there, and you may someday. Say, what do I do? Fix it as fast as you can. Don't let it fester. Don't let it snowball. Don't let it turn into this long-term nasty war. Fix it. Hey, if it's you, you say, it's me. I've got contention with somebody in the church. Fix it as fast as you can. Don't spread it. Don't start going to people and trying to pull them into the mess. I mean, you ought to be sad that you're there. Why in the world would you want to pull somebody else into disunity and confusion? And let's all, and I think we do this, folks, but let's all protect the church's spirit. Protect the church's spirit. I'm asking you, protect your church's spirit, because we have something that is great to protect. It is worth protecting. It says here, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. That's our goal. But God also said to us, then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. He told us to be perfectly unified. Then he told us, it's probably not going to happen, but he told us how to act when it does happen. That's our goal as Christians at the Shannon.